The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh. The Torah tells us in Shmeis Chof Ches, Posuk Aleph, V'ato hakreiv elecho es Aaron achicho es bono vitek mitek b'nei Yisrael lechan eli. You shall bring close to you Aaron, your brother, his sons from amongst the b'nei Yisrael, that they should serve me. They should become what we know as Kohanim. Aaron Nodav Aviu Alozer V'Somer B'nei Aaron. Aaron and his four sons, Nodav Avihu Alozer V'Somer. And the Torah commands us that we shall make bigodim, garments, big de kodesh, garments which are sanctified, both for Aaron and for his sons, but they were not the same. The Torah starts with the bigodim, the sanctified clothing for Aaron, and they should be lekoved ulisiforis. They should be with great honor and beauty. And then the Torah goes into great detail. Firstly, with the begodim, the garments for Aaron. And it mentions, Ve'ela begodim asher yasu choshen, there should be a breastplate, ve'ephod. Ephod was a very elaborate gown, umi'il, that was another gown which was one worn under that. Uksenis Tashbates, and then there was one which was worn next to the flesh, Mitznefes. Mitznefes was a head covering, a hat similar to a turban, the avnate and a belt. Seven are listed here, and one later is listed, Miknosayim, the trousers, altogether eight. We also vigde kodesh lan on a chichol of one of lechanili. And you shall make this for Aaron in order that he shall serve me. And then the Torah elaborates to specify to us how each one should be made. And firstly, we see that for the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, he was given eight garments. And the halacha was, law was that he had to be meshamish, he had to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. Later on, when it became the permanent, had a permanent home, it became the Beis Hamikdash in Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim. He had to serve Hashem with all of these eight garments. If he lacked one of these garments, then it was a great aveira, mechuser begodim. And it was Avedosa Psula. His Avoda, what he did, would be disqualified at that time. And also on Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, he would serve with these eight garments. Except Yom Kippur, he would serve just the Avedis Chutz. What he came to do outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was with the eight garments. What he did inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the most holiest part of the Beis Hamikdash, where no one was allowed to go except the Kohen Gadol and except on Yom Kippur, then he would change where he had four white linen garments, and he would change back and forth every time he went in or he went out. But we see basically that he had eight garments. What is the significance of the number eight? Eight all of the time refers to something which is lamala min ateva, something which is a higher level than our physical world. For example, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, which was a great miracle beyond the nature of the world, when Moshe praised it, He praised it. He started the praise with the word Oz, Oz Yoshir Moshe. Then Moshe sank. And the sages tell us that it was specifically with Oz, because Oz, Aleph Zayin, is a numerical value of 8. And the explanation of this is because this world was created in 7 days. We have the Sheshes Yemei Melacha, 6 days of work, and then the seventh day was Shabbos, and together they're known as the Shiva Shemei Breishis, the 7 days of creation. So this creation is made up of 7 levels. The 8th level is already a creation which is coming from beyond this creation, and that adds a dimension of sanctity to the world which the world itself does not have. This is the level of 8. It's for this reason that Torah, which is a level of sanctity which the world did not have from its physical creation, it was something given to the world later, something given to the world that came from another source, a higher source. Torah and mitzvahs were given in the 8th week of the going out of Egypt. After we went out of Egypt, we count 7 weeks. And the 7 weeks are the 7 weeks of Sfiras Ha'ema, counting of the Omer. And that brings us to 49 days. Shavuos, the giving of the Torah, was on the 50th day, which is the beginning of the 8th week. Another example is that David HaMelech, in his Tehillim, he praised the Torah. He has one chapter, chapter Kuf Yutesh, in which he spends the whole chapter on praising the Torah with every letter of the alphabet, with the Aleph, with the Beis, with the Gimel. And with each letter, he says 8 praises. With the Aleph, 8 praises. With the Beis, 8 praises. This is to signify and to make it appropriate to the Torah's level. So this world is a level, has 7 levels to it. 8th level is also is something which is coming from a higher level into this world, and it's sanctifying this world. It elevates this world, and this was the purpose of the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, make for me a Mishkan, a Beis HaMikdash. It was called Mishkan, the Torah tells us, from the word B'shochanti B'seichon, that I will be able to dwell amongst you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from a much higher source and came into this world to live with us in order to elevate this world to a higher level. And it's also called Mikdosh. The word Mikdosh, all the time, Rashi and all of the commentaries say, is to elevate something and to distinguish something from what it was before, and to make it Nivdal, to make it higher and distinguished and separate from what was before. So this is the purpose of the 8 garments. The Kohen Gadol, he was Arshliach. He represented Yisrael when he went into the Beis HaMikdash. And when one went into the Beis HaMikdash, we were speaking of the sanctity of this world. What we're speaking about is Kedushas HaGashmi. You take something which is physical and you sanctify it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, created this world. He created a world of Chemer, a physical world. The physical world by itself is not sanctified. The physical world is made up of earth. It's made up of a fire, of air. It's made up of animals. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by giving us the Beis HaMikdash is where he took this physical world and we can elevate it and sanctify it. We can take an animal and make a sacrifice out of it. We can take all materials and make it kodosh. This is why the garments that were made specifically dafka from physical materials, but being they kodesh, they would become sanctified. This, incidentally, is the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. What is the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? It's called kedusha so'oretz, the sanctity of the land. It says Eretz Yisrael is kodesh mishal kol arotzes. Eretz Yisrael is more sanctified than all other lands. Yushalayim is kodesh mishar ayores. Yushalayim is more sanctified than all other cities. Harabayis, the place where the Beis HaMikdash was, that's more sanctified than all other places. Its sanctity is its land like any other land. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells, chooses to dwell there, so it becomes more elevated than all other lands. This is why we find, the Gemara says in the Mishnah, that where do we see in practical halacha, practical law, where do we see the distinction of Eretz Yisrael and other lands? What halachas do we see it? So that the Mishnah says, "Shemevim mimenu bikurim," because the crops that grow in other lands, you can eat them just the way they are. The crops that grow in Eretz Yisrael, all kind of preparations you have to do with them. You have to, the first fruits you have to sanctify, or they are sanctified, and then there's a portion on all of the grain for the Kohen and for the Levi. And the Gemara calls this that mitzvahs hatluyis bo'oretz. These are mitzvahs which have to do with physical land. So therefore, this level that came to the Mishkan and to the Kohen Gadol manifests itself in the 8 begodim, the 8 garments. Another point in this trend: the Kohen, the Kohanim, were specifically appropriate for this level. Aaron was chosen, and then afterwards Aaron Uvonov, his seed. The sanctity of the Kohanim are known as Kedushas Haguf, is known as Kedushas Haguf. The sanctity, a physical sanctity. The Maral writes, he says, how do we see that the sanctity of the Kohanim is specifically Kedushas Haguf, a physical sanctity? He says, we see it from the fact, how do you become a Kohen? You become a Kohen just by being born a Kohen. You don't have to do anything for it. So how do you become the Kohen? Through inheritance, through Yerusha. You're born to the right father, you become a Kohen. Not born to the right father, I wouldn't say not the right father, but you're not born to the father that's a Levi, that's a Kohen, then you're not a Kohen or a Levi. And Yerusha, inheritance, the Gemara says, can only help on basically physical properties. For example, the Gemara says, why do we find that children of Talmidei Chachomim are not always Talmidei Chachomim? So the Gemara says, because ein Yerusha leTorah. There's no inheritance to Torah. Torah, you have to create yourself. You can't wake up one day and find that you're a Talmud Chacham. A Kohen, you don't have to create. You wake up one day and you're a Kohen. Because by Torah, we're trying to pass over the non-physical properties. And that ain't Yerusha, there's no inheritance. But when it comes to Kohuna, that was sanctity of the goof, of the physical human being, that can be given over through Yerusha, through inheritance. Maral says this is the reason, because we find a strange halacha. We find a strange, well, we only find it by Kohanim, in people. We find that a mum passes.
if a Kohen has a physical disfigurement, if he has a major physical blemish, this disqualifies him from the service, from the Aveda, from the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Now why? Why should it? Nothing wrong with his mind. Nothing wrong with his heart. And we do not find this any other place. There are times that we are asked, when we try to find people for public positions, many times we look for people that also have some outstanding physical qualities. There are many such halachos, but that's what is known as a hidur. That's if you can find, but doesn't disqualify a person. But a kohen, he has a mum, he has a physical disfigurement, a physical blemish from those which are written in the Torah, he's disqualified. Because the basis of his kedusha, the sanctity of the kohen, comes from the kedushas haguf. It's a physical sanctity. And the elevation of that. Therefore, he had to be perfect physically. Actually, the Gemara goes to great length how they used to choose the Kohen. They used to go through very, very difficult screen tests. And if a Kohen was chosen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, this was a wonderful simcha for him. Right? Now, what we can understand here, now brings us in a place. Is it the Medrash in our Sedra? In Siman Named Ches Oshud says, "Be'ezes chus hoya Aaron nichnas lebeis kodesh hakodesh." Where did Aaron? With what great merit did Aaron deserve to enter into the most holiest parts of the Beis Hamikdash? With the merit of the Bris Milah. It says, in Zeis Brisi. Later on it says, Bezeis Yove Aren, that this Aren should come to the Kodesh. And by the Bris which was given to Abraham, it states, Zos Brisi, this is my covenant. The Bris Milah is exactly the same as what we're referring to, because the Bris Milah was the sanctity of the body, and the Bris Milah therefore also its mitzvah was on Yom HaShmini, on the eighth day. In other words, according to the process of physical creation, which this physical world is a world of 7 days, a person is created without a Bris Milah, without circumcision. The eighth day can bring him a new mitzvah, a different level. And that's the level of Bris Milah. In other words, that sanctified Israel, not only in their minds or in their hearts, but it even sanctified their physical bodies. And this was the merit that Aaron had to become the emissary of Klal Yisrael to enter into the most sanctified physical place that we have in the world, the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Now it states that these garments should be made lekoved ulsiforis. They should be made with great honor and great beauty. It would be impossible in one shiur and even in many, many shiurim to go through exactly how they were made, these garments, with all the intricacies and the perfection. To give you one example, it states that these garments were made, behem yichu, this is in Posuke, behem yichu as azov. The workers should take the gold as atcheles. And the tchelis ves argoman, the argoman ves tlas hashoni ves hashesh. And this is what they should make the garments from.
Now there were four materials plus gold. The tcheles was a wool which was dyed a color similar to that of aqua or blue, sky blue, and its coloring was taken from the blood of a creature which was known as the halozen, which lived in the sea and would come up only once every 70 years. We spoke about this at length on Shabbos. It's a question if he would come up in the sea or from the sea he would go into the mountains. It was supposed to be a magnificent color, and the Gemara says it resembled the heavens, and it resembled the sapphire stone. The sapphire stone resembled the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The argomon was another thread, and this was a wool which was dyed a purple. The talash shoni was another thread, and this was a wool which was dyed a crimson or a scarlet. And where was this taken from? Talash is a worm. It was taken from the blood of a worm which was found in a plant. Ves hashesh is white linen. Now, the Gemara explains, what did they do? They took six strands of each of this. Six of the blue, and six of the purple, and six of the crimson, and six of the white linen. And with each six, they made gold threads, actual gold. They would take gold, and they would cut very, very thin threads from the actual gold, and they would take one strand of gold and put it together with the blue and one with the purple and one with the crimson and one with the white. So now they would have a total of seven strands in each group. And then they would take the four groups and twist them all together and twine them all together, spin them all together. And they would make one thread out of that. It was kofel kofches. It was made up of 28 different strands. And it was full of colors. See? It was gold and purple, blue, sky blue and purple, and crimson and white. And with that, they would weave the begodim, the garments. Whichever garment the Torah told us to weave like this. So everything was made in ultimate of beauty and perfection. We can ask a question here. Is this necessary? When we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not from this world, he's from another world. Is it necessary that we make everything with such physical beauty? Sheker Achein, Behevel Ayefi. When it comes to physical beauty, this is something that generally we should frown on. We should say, oh, this is good for earthlings. But here you're coming to serve a Melech Malchei Amlochim. You're coming to a Melech Boss of Adon, a king who is of flesh and blood. He places great emphasis on physical wealth, on gold, on physical beauty, silver. But when we're coming to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is basically, he's basically non-physical. So these frills really shouldn't have a place. That would be a very good, train of thought. This would be a good philosophy. Yet, we find in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, everything was done with the ultimate of perfection. Physical perfection and the ultimate of physical beauty. Fact is, Rashi brings in one of these parashas that when you would cover the walls of the Mishkan were made of beautiful materials, but they would be covered with skins in total to protect them from the rain and the elements. So Rashi brings Mikan
Shiodim Chasalayefi, that when you have something beautiful, you must take care of it, not let it become ruined. Now this question, we actually gave a shir on this once or twice before, but this question, Ramesha Chaim Letzato, the writer of the Mesilas Yesharim, goes into it in his Bir Chelkei Hasidus, in the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Yutes. And he writes that there were those that said, Eina kovet ela livnei odom, hamispatim bahavolim eila. When it comes to this type of honor, physical beauty, there were those who held, this is good for people that go for these things. Ach HaKadosh Baruch Hu necheshes lezeh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not interested in this. Ki hu mereima midvorim eila. He's far above. It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beichin levoves. He looks into a person's heart. So what does he need all of the exterior trappistries for? If you do a mitzvah and you do it properly, what do you have to go to other extremes for when you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And there was a very, very strong school of thought on this. And that's why there were places, there could even be places that look down upon the shleimus hagashmius, the perfection of the physical world, when it comes to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with it. And they live very, very sparse, lean lives. In other words, you have a Beis HaMedrash. The main thing is you should sit and learn in the Beis HaMedrash. Forget about everything else. You have a Sefer Torah, it's got to be kosher. But once it's kosher, forget about everything else. But you ornament it with gold and silver, see? And so on and so on. Now, I think to understand a little better of what Ramesh Chaim Letzato is coming to, I think we have to understand his background. Ramesh Chaim Letzato lived in Italy. The huge majority of the Talmidei Chachomim of his time and prior to his time came from other countries. He came from another place, Italy. Italy were the masters of the world when it came to physical beauty and physical perfection. In Italy you had great art and great sculpture. Well, not great art, you had historically world great art and sculpture and music and so forth. And they only came to such greatness because they placed enormous emphasis on it. Enormous emphasis. And they used it for their reasons. But this would lend to a very strong school of thought, is that Torah Jews should never place such emphasis on it. And we should look down on all of this and keep it out of our Avedis Hashem when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we going to do? Bring in the Italian art and the Italian craftsmanship? Even today, I've heard from people in the jewelry business where they say that Italian jewelry is of the utmost perfection, quality, and so forth. So therefore he poses this question. So he writes as follows. He says this is sheker. He says this is totally false what these people are saying. He says the sages say explicitly not like that.
Kfeid ha-mitzvah v'kore for izirim runo olav chachomim.
When it comes to paying honor to a mitzvah, physically, to physically ornament and make it beautiful,
already our sages have told us, zekeli vanvehu,
Yisnoel afon of the mitzvahs. When you come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only must you serve him spiritually, you must serve him physically. And when you serve him physically, you have to beautify and perfect that which you use.
Tzitzis noah, the Gemara says.
It's not enough to make a talus. It has to be a beautiful talus. Tfilin noah. It's not enough to make a tfilin. It has to be beautiful tfilin.
Sefer Torah noah.
Mother brings Sefer Torah noah with a beautiful mantle and a beautiful crown. Lulav noah. Not enough that it should be kosher, but you have to try to find a beautiful one.
Haredas sifseseyem boru milelu,
he says. Here we hear from the sages clear talk, he says.
She'ein dai ba'aseisha mitzvah levad.
Not like, he says, the others say, that it's sufficient if you fulfill the mitzvah because you're doing something spiritual. And what do we need to place emphasis like the Goyim or like the Italians? To make it of the utmost physical beauty and charm. You have to honor it and beautify it.
And Emesusha Odin Borhu Nikro Kela Kovet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as the Lord of honor and beauty. And we are obligated to honor him in such a manner.
And somebody who minimizes this in a situation where he could be marber, where he could do more, is chayter, he says. Ein ele chayter. He says he's a sinner. This is what he writes. He says, don't look at this like this is a matter of choice.
He
says, this is what the prophet came to rebuke Israel in Malachi Aleph. When they would bring sacrifices, there were many that said, no, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a difference to him, what type of sacrifice you bring. The main thing is your heart is there.
So the Novi, the prophet said, V'chisagishun ivel isbeach. Ein roah.
He says, you bring a blind animal to the altar. This is not evil. He says, if you would bring a king a gift, and it's a lame animal, would he accept it from you? So we'll say, yes, but a king is physical. And he looks at it with a physical eye. Kodesh Baruch Hu is spiritual. He doesn't look at it the physical eye. He's going to look at my heart. The Navi pointed the finger at at the people, and they said, this is what you bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Yisirun lisanek hepek zebaveda. He says, just the opposite to the way these people talk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. He brings a Gemara Sukkah. I won't be able to read everything he brings because he brings from half Shasir, but a few illustrations. He brings from the Gemara Sukkah Daf Nun, bin Yinmayim Shinizgalu, Shaleisanenem Bimsanenes. On Sukkot, we had what was known as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that they used to take water, to take it from a certain place in the Beis HaMikdash. And they would bring the water to the Mizbeach, to the altar. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to leave water stand out overnight. It's called Mayim Megulim. Because a snake could come, drink from it, and leave some of his poison in the water. There's such a halacha. We're not careful with this today. Some say because there are not many snakes around. But at any rate, this was the halacha. There is a way, though, that you could still use the water by straining it. You put it through a good strainer, or you put it through some good cheesecloth, and then you could use the water.
So the Gemara says, this type of water
even if you strained it, is not kosher for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's not kosher for the Nisuch HaMayim, for the bringing the water to the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, why not? Such water is permissible to drink. So the Gemara says, Emu de Omri Lehedjit Legveya Mikomar. Just because one is allowed to drink it, but that's not the type of water you bring to a king. Ta'kodesh Baruch. Just because we permit you to drink it, but that's not what you choose for Hashem. And he says, Reino mach chesrin yesh b'mayim shenistanenu. Ukfar mutarim hein lehebjut. What's wrong with water which was already strained? And a person is allowed to drink it. What is the big difference? Still we see, this is not the derech kovet. This is not the honorable type of water that you would serve a king, certainly not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He brings, this was the chait, this was the great chait of Cain and Cain. Cain and Hevel each wanted to bring a gift to Hashem. Hevel chose from the best. Cain didn't choose from the best. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't accept from Cain. Leishoel min chosei. He says another example. There's the mitzvah bikurim, to bring first fruits. It was brought to the Beis Hamikdash, brought to the Mizbeach, and was given to the Kohanim. Now, should there be a difference how you bring it? The main thing is you bring your first fruits. Now, the Mishnah says, Hashor heilich lifneihem ukronov mitzupa izov. When they came to Yerushalayim, the farmers, they came with an enormous procession. And they had their wagons and their carts, and they were drawn by the oxen. The oxen they would decorate. The oxen they would put gold on the horns of the oxen. And they would make crowns out of olive branches, which they would put on the heads of the oxen. The wealthy, when they would come into the Mishkan and they'd put the first fruits in a basket, they would make baskets out of gold. The poorer ones couldn't afford it, they would make other fancy baskets. Here we see there was no difference in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, but how much one should physically beautify a mitzvah. This is all physically beautify a mitzvah when we're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It brings further, many times we feel, if I dress nicely, this is for my benefit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the difference to him? This is the human nature. States he brings the Gemaras, the Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara, when they would daven, they would dress up before they would daven. They would put on nice clothing because they're going to stand before a king. Yes, but a physical king will, he looks at the clothing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the heart. No. They would dress up, and they would say, because it says, Hika in Likras Elakecho, prepare yourself to meet Hashem. He says, we see from Esav that Esav would dress up when he went to serve his father. And he goes on and on. He brings, the Gemara goes to great length, the Gemara in the Medrash, how the rabbis, the Amoraim, would make preparations for Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, in order to pay honor to Shabbos. And this was all physical. Some would go and they would make the wicks for the candles. Others would go and they would sweep the house. Others would go and they would go to the marketplace to buy things. Others would go and they would prepare the fish. Why were they doing all of this? So they said, because a great king is coming to the city. A great queen is coming to the city, the Shabbos Malko. If a king was coming to your house, wouldn't you go to all of this effort? But how can you compare the two? One's a physical king and one's a spiritual king. Nevertheless, you see. Then further, he brings. He says, not only did they do things positively, but we see it's a mitzvah to do things out of Shabbos, even in a negative way, in order that it should have a positive result on Shabbos. For example, the Gemara brings, it's a mitzvah to eat a little Erev Shabbos. Say, it's a mitzvah to eat a little Erev Shabbos. Why? In order that you should have a great appetite on Shabbos, and then you'll eat more for Shabbos. So the Gemara brings. Brings Enkev and Sud Erev Shabbos, all kind of shilas in the Gemara. What happens if there's a Simcha Erev Shabbos? Can you make the Suda or not? It's all sugis Gemara's on it. Because it says it's not kovah to Shabbos. It's not kovah to Shabbos that here you come into Shabbos and you're not hungry. If a king will invite you to his table and you say, I'm not hungry. And meanwhile he ladens it. And then he brings another proof that even you should do something negative on Erev Shabbos in order that it can have positive results to honor Shabbos further in a physical way. He brings, there was this Amora Ravonim. So Gemara Shabbos Kufu Tes. Lovish Gunda. His custom was, is every Erev Shabbos he would put on a garment which was black every Erev Shabbos. That was his Friday garment. You used to ask him why. He says, because a black garment is not very pretty. And on Shabbos I put on my most colorful clothing. And in order that it should look even more beautiful, Friday he would put on a beged shochor. See, a black garment. So what was he doing here? He was doing something physically negative on Erev Shabbos, in order that way it'll have a greater honor on Shabbos itself. Then he brings the Mishnah Novus. Brings that kol mechabed es hatera gufe mechubed al abriyos. Whoever gives honor to the Torah, his body becomes honorable to people. Now there the commentaries say, what does it mean his body becomes honored? Gufei b'chubed, his body. Because there are two types of honor to the Torah. There's an honor to the Torah, admiration. We place the Torah more important to us than anything else in the world. But then there's an actual physical honor to the Torah. How do you physically honor the Torah? You physically stand up for it. You physically dress it in beautiful garments. Or it says, the Gemara says, you shouldn't, if there's, it says you shouldn't take a nach and put it on top of a chumash. Or if there's a sefer on a bench, you shouldn't sit on that bench. And that's how that's speaking. If somebody physically honors the Torah, then his own physical body will become honorable to people. Why is it different for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, physical honor? The Torah is not physical. So he says, what do we see from the sages? We see not like these people say. But we see that in the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only must we serve him spiritually, but we must serve him physically. And just like we're obligated to go to all extremes to serve him with the utmost spirit, so must we go to all extremes that we're capable of to beautify and to ornament and to enhance that what we serve him with physically. So this tells us a little more then that these kahanim that were coming to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and especially the Kohen Gadol, they had to be dressed in big day malchus, in royal garments of the utmost beauty and perfection. I'd like to just speak, we don't have too much time left, a little on one garment in particular. And this was the Cheshen Mishpat. This was the Cheshen. The Torah tells us the Cheshen was a breastplate. Let me quote from the Rambam how the Cheshen was made. The Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, beginning with Halacha Vav, Ketzad Maisa Cheshen, how do we make the breastplate? Erik Beged Maisa Cheshen Min Azov Tcheles Agoman Tlashoni Vashesh Ashmein Vesrim Chutin Kemei Shibi Anu. First, we make a garment out of material, and this garment was made out of the colors that we mentioned. There was the gold and the four wools and the linen, and Kofel Chof Ches with 28 strands twisted into one that we mentioned. Orche Ama Varoch Vezeres Vekefel Shnaim. It was an Ama long. An Ama is about 2 feet. It would be roughly, I think, a half a meter, we said. Is that correct? Okay. And its width was a Zeres. See, the Ama is an arm breadth. The Zeres is a hand breadth, a hand span, which is a half of that. And then it was folded in two, so it was square. It was, after it was folded in two, so then it was a hand span squared. And you put into it and then it was folded in two, so it was square. It was, after it was folded in two, so then it was a hand span squared. And you put into it, you sew into it, 4 rows of precious stones. Kol Evan Meruba, each one is square, Umeshuka Bebaisel Zov, and each one is in a gold setting. Shemakifel Nomato Meaberu Chesav. And the setting came to the bottom of the stone and surrounded the stone. So you just saw the tops of the stones. And the stones, there would be 4 rows of stones, three in each row, so there would be 12 stones, and these are explicit in the Torah, and you had all your precious stones there. You had a diamond, and you had a sapphire, and you had a ruby, and you had an onyx stone. What? Yeah. A barrel. Oh, yeah. And you had 12 different precious, beautiful stones, each one a different color. Umefateach, there's all kind of discussions as to exactly which stones, some we know exactly which ones were, others are questions, difference of opinions, and so on. Umefateach al avonim shmeis hashvotim kitoldeson. And then you would engrave on each stone the name of the 12 shvotim, of the 12 tribes. Nimtze kesev ala edim. So on the red stone, which many say was a ruby, that was the first one, so you would write Reuben. They would be in the order of their birth. Bal Yoshfei, Binyamin. And on the last one, Binyamin. And then kesev bitchil lamala me Reuben, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. And on the first stone, right above Reuben's name, you would write Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then kesev lamata mi Binyamin, and at the last stone, right below Binyamin's name, who was the last son, you would write Shiftei Kor. These are the tribes of Hashem. in order she'll call Asiyas Mitzvayishum, then you would have every letter of the alphabet on this breastplate. And then there were golden rings and golden chains, and this the Kohen hung. It was attached to his other garments, and it hung against his chest, and it had to be tight against his chest. It wasn't supposed to bang back and forth when he would walk. In this breastplate was placed which was called the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim was the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was written. Some say was the Shem HaMepharish, his total name, his complete name. And that was placed inside the folds of the Choshen. And that would guide us on certain questions. The Rambam brings in, what does he bring this? The Rambam brings in Perek Yud. He brings Ketzad Shaylin. What would they do with this breastplate and the Urim V'Tumim? Emir HaKein Ufonav Lifnei Orin V'Asher Ma'achrov. The Kohen would stand and he would face the Orin. And then behind him would be the representative of Klal Yisrael who would ask a question. Ponav La'achri HaKein. His face would be behind the Kohen. Certain questions were brought to the Urim V'Tumim, but very, very serious questions which only were relevant to all of Israel. For example, should we go to war or not go to war? He wouldn't shout the question, he wouldn't say the question quietly, but like one was davening. And a Ruach HaKodesh, a special sanctity, would envelop over the Kohen. And he would look at his breastplate. And through prophecy, he would see all the, whether we should go up to war or not go up to war. From the letters, certain letters would light up on the breastplate. And he would not ever, this would be not discernible except to him. He would have this Ruach HaNevuah, this prophecy would come down upon him, and he would be able to tell from there the answer to our questions. And therefore, and then he would answer the one who's asking the question. The one who would ask the question would be the representative of the Sanhedrin, of the great court, whether we should go or not. We didn't use this just for questions. Instead, it'd be a question that came from the king or from the Sanhedrin, or which was relevant to the whole Tzibur. In the Bais Sheni, in the second Bais HaMikdash, the Rambam writes there were certain things that were missing from the second Bais HaMikdash that we had in the first Bais HaMikdash. So he writes that we didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. Why didn't we have it? I mean, we could have. She said the breastplate we had to have. Otherwise the Kohen wouldn't have been able to serve. Like we mentioned, he had to have all eight garments. But the Urim V'Tumim we didn't have. Why not? He said. Or we weren't, he says, Ein Shayalim. See, we won't ask. Mibnei Marlo HaYashayalim Be'am, Mibnei Shalei Shamru HaKodesh. Because this dimension of sanctity did not ascend upon the Kohen Gadol in the second Beis HaMikdash. And we would not ask these questions to the breastplate unless that Kohen Godel was had this Ruach HaKodesh, this prophecy, and therefore could tell us. So he had the breastplate, but it didn't have this power. There's an interesting Gemara in Masechta Seita. Gemara brings in Masechta Seita Daf Mem Ches Seif Amad Beis. Gemara says, there was a creature that was known as the Shomer. Now, this creature could break any material. And the Gemara goes through the discussion that according to one opinion, all of the stones that were used for the Beis HaMikdash were split by this creature, because according to one opinion, we weren't allowed to use any metal on the building of any part of the Beis HaMikdash. According to the other opinion, only in the inner parts of the Beis HaMikdash we weren't allowed to use metal. But the outer we could, but there was another opinion that any part of the Beis HaMikdash we couldn't. So how did we split it? So they used this creature. So the Gemara brings there on the stones of the Choshen, the stones of the breastplate, where we were supposed to write on those stones the names of all the 12 Shvatim. Avonim halolu, ein keish v'neison b'joy. How did we write it? We didn't write it with ink, because it states in the Torah, petuche chesem. Petuche chesem, they must be written like a signet ring. A signet ring is where the letters protrude. Bein masartin aleihem, b'izemel, and we didn't chisel it out. Mishum shenemar b'meluah isom, because it states in our parsha that the stones had to be in their setting, in their totality, and if you chisel them out, so then you're taking away from the stone. Elakesiv aleim b'joy, we would write the letters, the names and the letters on with ink. Umar lehen shomir b'bachutz, and then we would take this little creature, and we would show him the ink, and we would move him along the ink. Behein nifkos me'aleihem. And then the stone would split by itself in the form of the letters. The letters would come out by themselves. Like a fig, that when the hot weather comes, the fig will split open, but it'll lose nothing. So the same thing here, it would move and bring out this writing, but nothing would be lost from the stone. Or or like this, like a valley that in the rainy season splits, but nothing is lost. Then the Gemara goes into it. The Gemara says, Gemara wants to know a little more about this interesting creature. So it says, Shomer Zeh B'riyosei Kisa'ora. He was very small. He was the size of a barley. M'sheshi Shemei B'reishis Nivro. And he was created during the first 6 days of creation. I think he's one of the things which is listed that was created there of Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Now, ve'en kol dover koshi yochalami b'fonav, and there was no material that could stand before him. So Gemara asks a good question now. Ba'meh mishamrim. So how did you keep him? You put him in a cage, he could get out of everything. So it says, no, they had a way to keep him. Korchin esei b'shfugin shel tzemen. They would take bundles of wool, and they would wrap them up in bundles of wool. And they would put them in a lead basket, which was full of barley bran. Evidently, that would keep them. So he was bundled up in wool and put in a lead basket that was full of barley bran. The purpose that all of the shvatim were written on his breastplate was, the Medrash says, so when he would come into the Beis HaMikdosh, he would carry with him the schus of the 12 tzaddikim, the 12 sons of Yaakov.
Incidentally, in Parshas Bamidbar, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, we have where the Torah tells us, this is in Bamidbar Beis, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe ve'Aaron le'mor, Ish al digle be'eses le'veis ha'veisom, yachnu b'nei Yisrael. Every tribe was given a flag in accordance to the signs of their fathers. What does it mean? Each tribe was given a flag where they would camp and how they would march in accordance to the signs of their fathers. So Rashi brings the Medrash. Kol degel yela ish mapet shavua tluyim. Every flag had a cloth with a color. Tzivu shel zeh like tzivu shel zeh. And there were no two colors the same. And each tribe had the color on his flag, which was the color of his stone in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And that's how everyone knew his flag, because everyone knew what stone belonged to Reuben, and what stone belonged to Shimon, and what stone belonged to Levi, and that was the color of the flag in their camping place. Let me conclude with one further word on this, and that is the Gemara brings in Erechim and in Zvochim, Erechim Tezayin Aleph and Zvochim Peches Beis, and Rashi brings this here, that all of the Begodim, whenever the Kohen Gadol would wear the garments, it would be Mechapres. Each garment would be Mechaper, would atone for a certain sin that was existing in Klal Yisrael. Rashi explains there, those who committed the sin, it wouldn't be atoned for, but it would be atoned for Klal Yisrael who had such evil amongst them. The breastplate, what was that mechaper on? It was called, Choshen means the breastplate, but it was called in the Torah Choshen HaMishpat. One place is called Choshen Mishpat, the other place is called Choshen HaMishpat. Mishpat means judgment. It came to be Mechaper al Ibus Adin. When crooked judgment was given in Yisrael, this was a terrible sin for Klal Yisrael. When you had corrupt judges, or you had judges that were incompetent, and they were giving out judgments that were not perfect, not correct, this was a terrible thing. It states on Mishpat Lelakim. The Mishpat has to come represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uprightness. So this would be Mechaper. So this would atone. The question is now why? Why should it atone? What does one thing have to do with the other? The answer is, when a person exercises judgment, that comes from the seichel, comes from the mind, because that's the yosher, the tzedek tirdeif, which means it has to be perfect. It can't be to the right and it can't be to the left. You cannot say that, look, this man is a poor man, let me favor him. That's not din. Then you're stealing from the wealthy. Or you can't say, I have to favor the wealthy because he's more powerful, than you're stealing from the poor. It has to be tzedek. Tzedek means exactly right. Yosher. Exactly balanced. How do we know this? This we only know through enormous labor with our intelligence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. With our spiritual intelligence that we can understand His Torah with the seichel. Kilkul HaMishpat Ibus HaDin. The spoiling of the judgment, that comes from the heart, because the heart is the seat of desires. When you have all types of other considerations, say, you either have rachamim, compassion, too much compassion for one, or you have achzorius, or you want to be too hard on the other person, right? Or there could be money involved, corruption, see, or jealousy involved. This is what's mekalkul the seichel. This spoils the yosher, and this comes from the heart. That's why it states that a judge is not allowed to accept a bribe. Because the sheikhed
the bribe is the heart, the chemdus, the desire for money, makes blind the eyes of the clever. A person can be very, very clever, and with his eyes he can see, the eyes of the seichel. The seichel is always referred to as the eyes, einei ha'edo, the eyes of the congregation, that were the zakenim, the elders. A person can have the best eyes of the seichel, but when the chemdes alev, when the heart gets involved, though, that distorts the vision. So the mishpat comes from the seichel. The distortion of the mishpat comes from the heart. The kohen gadol would wear the choshen al alev, al libay. That was the commandment. This was the garment he wore on his heart, because the kilkul, the distortion of the judgment, doesn't come from the seichel. It comes from the heart, and therefore this garment that was worn on the heart would come and atone for the distortion and the destruction that was brought by the heart. With this we understand that in Parshas Shmos, when Moshe was having his long dialogue, it lasted for 7 days with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the burning bush, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you must go back to Egypt and you must go to Paray and you must execute all of the plagues and so forth and take my people out. And Moshe kept refusing. For 7 days it went on. Finally it states that it came out why Moshe was refusing. Why was he refusing? Because he was being appointed here king, the king of Israel, and he felt that Aaron would be very upset with this, because Aaron also was a great tzaddik and he was the older brother, and he felt that this gedula, this greatness, should go to Aaron. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally said in exasperation, this was in Shmos Dalet Posuk Yud Dalet, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became impatient, he became angry and said, he says, don't worry about Aaron, I'll include him also, he'll go with you, he'll be your spokesman, and he will come out to meet you when he hears of this, that you've been appointed as the leader and the king, and he will rejoice in his heart. So Rashi brings the Medrash, not like you think that he's going to be all upset over this, because you have been appointed to such greatness. No, he says he won't be, Moshe was afraid he'll be kine belibay, he'll be jealous in his heart, or he'll be angry, kas, in his heart. No, he'll be somach belibay, he'll rejoice in his heart over your selection, your election. And it states from this act that Aaron, when he heard the news, he came out and he rejoiced in his heart. From this, Aaron was zeicher to this most beautiful of all of the garments, the choshen, the breastplate on his heart. But what does it mean? Because who is the one who's capable of wearing the breastplate in order to bring atonement for the distortion of the mishpat? Only someone who has a pure heart. And Aaron should have been upset, see? He should have been angry in his heart. He should have been disappointed in his heart. He should have been jealous in his heart. That here he was the older brother and he's being overstepped for his younger brother. And instead he was somach b'libo. He rejoiced in his heart. So this shows you the purity of heart that Aaron had. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will be the one with such purity of heart to be mechaper al kilkul adin, that you'll wear this on your heart, the breastplate, in order to atone for Klal Yisrael for any distortion of the mishpat that comes from the non-purity of the heart. These are some of the principles that we learn from this parsha in regards to the Bigdei Kohun, the garments of the Kohen. Okay.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.